In response, I suppose, to tough economic times, many property owners will look to cut back on certain things. And one of those things could be levies that are agreed to and obviously put in place by body corporates of schemes that they belong to. This is not allowed, really. And to tell us why is Zelinda van der Merwe, who's the general manager and specialist community schemes consultant at Pam Golding. Zelinda, lovely to chat to you again. Good morning.
Hi there. Good morning, Africa. I trust that you're well.
I am indeed. So if I live and own a property in a scheme that decides, for example, they would like to have a new sun deck, but it's going to cost 800,000 rand in order for us to do that. Therefore, we need to raise a special levy. And of course, the majority of the AGM, whatever the meeting that gives rise to that, they say, okay, cool, let's go get it. I can't afford it because either I've been retrenched or lost a job or whatever the case may be, or I've had to take a pay cut, lost another second income. I can't really excuse myself from paying those levies, can I?
That's very true. So that's one of the unfortunate things about living in a community, is that you really are subject to the will of the majority. And you use such a very good example. You know, when it comes to maintenance and repair, we are more inclined to contribute towards those types of expenses. But when we start looking at improvements to our community, especially if it's an improvement that we believe that we're not going to utilize, the sun deck at the swimming pool being a perfect one. You know, if I don't use the swimming pool, I'm not going to want to contribute towards it. It's a bit of a difficult pill to swallow, but it is one of the realities of living in a community scheme, being a sectional title or an HOA, that even if I'm not going to utilize something, I am a compulsory member of that scheme and that body corporate in a specific sectional title context, and I have to contribute. And if I don't contribute, I'm prejudicing the rest of my fellow members, because a body corporate is not a business. And if I don't pay my levies, it can get as severe as being handed over for collection proceedings, either through the community scheme ombuds service or through the court, the magistrate's court or the high court. So it does get quite serious.
And what would be those consequences, by the way, should you be handed over to, for example, the community scheme's ombuds service?
Well, the community scheme ombuds service does look at the proceedings a little bit differently than court. It's a lot more of an informal process. And what they're trying to determine is whether or not there's a dispute or not. So your first example of I simply cannot afford it means that there isn't a dispute. You're not unhappy with the decision, or you're not unhappy about the subject to which the money is going to go. You simply cannot afford it. And perhaps that would be an opportunity to look at a payment arrangement for that particular owner, something that the trustees can engage on and try to come to a settlement. Alternatively, the owner might decide that if this is the type of thing going forward that the body corporate is going to have to contribute towards, and then simply not... they're simply unable to afford it, to perhaps look at putting their property on the market, which is never an ideal situation. The difficulty comes in when you've got a tenant and you have to compare what you're getting as a rental income versus all the other expenses, the rates, the bond payments, your water, your electricity, water, exclusive use area contributions. So you're already on such a tight budget that when an additional expense, for example, a special levy rises, you're placed in a very difficult position. You can't exactly go to your tenant during the course of a year contract or whatever it might be and say, the levies have actually gone up now, I'm going to ask you for a higher rental. That's not part of the agreement with the tenant, and very unlikely that it would be. And you can't go back to the body corporate and say, I'm not going to utilize that improvement, therefore I'm not going to pay the special levy. So if you aren't able to come to some type of arrangement, the CSAS, just like the court, would have to give an order that that amount of money is due and payable. And if it cannot be paid, normal court proceedings would follow, attachment of movables, attachment eventually of the immovable property, and sale in execution at an auction.
And just to digress for a moment and shine the spotlight on something you referenced a moment ago, if you have a tenant in your property, you are not allowed to pass on your levy requirement to the rental you are getting out of that tenant.
So it's a contract, like any other contract. It could be a provision. I've recently signed a lease agreement in my own right. And, you know, the tenant decided that they were going to scratch that clause out and say, you know, I'm happy with the rental. I'm happy to pay my electricity according to individual consumption. But you as the owner are responsible for the rates. You as the owner are responsible for the water because it's part of your levies and any levy increase. Therefore, I'm not going to be prejudiced by a rental increase in the case that something that is linked to your ownership of the units increases. And I, as the landlord, believe that that was reasonable. Why should I, as the landlord, pass that on to my tenant? That is part of my ownership, and it has nothing to do with the use and the occupation of the actual unit for the tenant. So anything that can be recovered from the tenant, for the example of electricity or water, the tenant is using it and therefore should be responsible for it. But rates and levy increases and special levies, I don't believe is something that should be passed on to the tenant, and definitely cannot be unless it's contained in the contract that has been agreed to by both the landlord and the tenant.
Which is slightly worrying for me, because it sounds like it needs to be negotiated and agreed to in a contract, as opposed to there being legislative framework that either dictates you can or cannot do such things.
Yes, definitely. I mean, the legislation in regards to the expenses of the body corporate are set out in the Sectional Title Schemes Management Act. And that act is binding between the body corporate and owners, not tenants. The Rental Housing Act is binding between landlords and tenants, and it doesn't get into the detail of what the expenses of the landlord is going to be, because it doesn't only deal with community schemes, it deals with freestanding properties as well. So the only place it can be contained is a lease agreement. And very often, the rental that is being asked should be sufficiently high to cater for the rates, the bond, the expenses of the body corporates, except in the instance where you as the owner do not know about a special levy coming up or a levy increase coming up. And the only way to stay on top of that is to be involved in your body corporate, becoming a trustee or looking at the finances, understanding the finances, attending annual general meetings where the levy increases are discussed, asking for a copy of the budget, understanding the budget, and understanding the financial position of the body corporate. That's the only way that a levy increase or a special levy is not going to come as a surprise and can actually be budgeted for, either as part of your rental or whatever savings you have in regard to that property.
And a recourse for a property owner who cannot afford a special levy that has been agreed to is really to, as you say, be part of the process and try and either negotiate or, better yet, convince the rest of the scheme owners or partners in your scheme that actually a sun deck is not something that we really need, right?
Yes, 100%. You know, again, it's such a fantastic example because very often previously as a practicing attorney and now as a managing agent, I get owners calling me saying, you know, what am I paying for? But I don't use that. Why must I contribute towards it? And it doesn't matter in a community scheme if you live on the ground floor and don't use the elevator, or you have an aversion to water and you don't use the swimming pool. You still have to contribute towards it. And when it comes to an improvement to the common property, and the sun deck is a prime example, you know, it's not something that the scheme necessarily needs. And what the Act speaks about is when a body corporate is wanting to put an improvement into place, they have to decide, is it something that is reasonably necessary or not? And if it is reasonably necessary, you can justify it. And very often, you know, security or the JoJo tanks during the drought or generators during all the electrical or power outages were something that we can consider to be reasonably necessary. But perhaps putting a sun deck in by the swimming pool is not. But then again, it all depends on the nature of the scheme, the nature of the buildings in the area, the value of the units improving with this type of improvement to be able to argue whether it is reasonably necessary or not. But it's quite interesting to note that a special levy can be raised only by the trustees. And very often members think simply in its nature of being a special decision, like a special levy, would need at least a special resolution of the members, which is more than a majority. It doesn't. So you need to, as an owner, really keep your ear to the ground to understand or to know when these types of things are going to arise, that you're able to budget accordingly and to become aware with what's going on in your scheme.
Very sound advice. Thank you very much for your time this morning. Zelinda van der Merwe, General Manager and Specialist Community Schemes Consultant at PAM Golding.